Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Cult Leader early and ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today.
You're listening to a Morbid Network podcast.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Audible is the destination for thrilling audio entertainment with highly anticipated new releases. The time is now more than ever to embrace the breathtaking, sinister, and shocking tales that can enthrall you, especially with brand new exclusive thrillers from best-selling authors who are guaranteed to keep you gripped, like Amy Tintera's Listen for the Lie. With exclusive thrillers from best-selling authors, captivating sound design, and dynamic performances, Audible brings these stories to life like never before. And as a member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500. That's audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500.
Welcome back to Cult Leader. I'm your cult leader, Spencer Henry, and this is A Little Leader, our weekly hangout where we catch up on all the hot goss, and I read some of the stories that y'all send to me. If you have a story you're itching to share with the cult, well, hey, I've got a solution for you. Send it on over to spencer@cultleader.com. Today, we are joined by none other than my best friend in this whole darn world, Mrs. Madison Reyes.
Hello, thank you.
Yeah, what, again.
Thank you.
Wow.
Keep going.
Guys, all right. The cult babes are so welcoming. Madison, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. I love being on your Little Leaders.
Oh, we love a little Madison cameo, a little obituary cult leader crossover. Uh-huh. And now feels like the perfect time.
The bitch is in the building.
Yeah, the bitch is in the building. And guess what? The bitch is about to be in a lot of different buildings because we're going on tour, babe.
It's about to be in an airplane.
Uh-huh.
To 20-something different cities.
Oh, we are just traveling throughout the U.S. in the next coming months, and I'm so excited. I know you're so excited.
Oh, can't wait. I really can't wait to meet everybody and just be on stage, honey.
Oh, she is meant for the spotlight. I just love that we're just going to be in a room full of cult babes and G-offs, and
it's the best. The absolute best.
We're going to a lot of different cities. If you have not gotten tickets yet, come see us live. You can go to obituarypodcast.com for details.
Can I say, too, if you're not a G-off, there will still be something for you.
Oh, you know.
Still a little cult leader in there.
You know your cult leader's got something up his sleeves.
Uh-huh.
It's going to be so much fun. I cannot wait. It's also so perfect that you're here today because we're just going to get straight into emails, you guys. Madison brought a few with her, mm-hmm. and I got a few, so we're just going to go straight for it. We're skipping the news this week. The subject line on this first email says, assisted suicide.
Oh, we know all about that.
It said, using a little leader or whatever. I don't care.
Okay.
And I was like, I'm giving that an A+ subject line. Like, not only did you give us the subject that you're going to talk about, you included little leader and you served attitude.
Mm-hmm. Bless. We love that.
We love it. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we did a whole episode. Well, you, for a coffin spinner on one of the obituary episodes, you talked all about assisted suicide.
Death with dignity.
And it was eye-opening. That was the correct term, right? Mm-hmm. Death with dignity. Or like assisted. There was another term in there. I don't know. I'm sure we cover it in the mm-hmm. episode. Incredible.
Absolutely incredible. Changed my whole view on it, and I'm so for it now.
Oh, 100%.
We're not trying to promote, but really, you guys should go listen to that episode because it will open up your mind to what it is.
Uh-huh.
And how crucial it is for so many people.
Yeah, I think it really shows like why somebody would go that route.
Yeah, it's not a willy-nilly decision. One of the reoccurring themes in it was that life kind of started making every decision for these people. And they didn't have control. They didn't have control over their illness. They didn't have control over when they were going to pass. And if they could have control over at least that, it brought them immense peace. Oh. And so it's yeah, we'll see. We'll get into this email and see.
Yeah, well, they said, hi, Spencer. They said, hi, Spencer and Hot Dog and whoever else is around. So I guess that's for you.
Uh-huh.
So a few days ago in my hometown in Florida, a woman shot and killed her terminally ill husband.
Okay, well, that's not how we would go about that.
While he was still in the hospital and she's being charged with murder. From what I heard, this was the husband's choice because he didn't want to suffer anymore. And they decided if they knew it wasn't going to get better, it was going to be a murder-suicide situation.
Oh.
The woman is now going to prison and I just don't know what to think. Yes, it's terrifying that she brought a gun into the hospital and shot a patient. I work in a hospital, so I couldn't imagine how scary that was.
Uh-huh.
But she locked herself in that room and she had no intention of hurting anyone. Do you think she did the right thing? Do you think it could have been done differently? Do you think that they should have had the option of assisted suicide? I'll attach one of the articles. Okay, let me answer those first of all, and then I want to read the article just to get a better understanding. But from what you've told me, do I think she did the right thing? I think I would have looked more into the death with dignity route. And that's absolutely something that should have been available.
I don't think you should have
Go into a hospital and shoot your husband.
No, that person could have gone a completely different route. But then at the same time, I'm not that person. That's so easy for us to sit here and
say. We're not in that situation.
Yeah.
Well, let's see what the article said. This is from WESH.com, which I think is a NBC affiliate. And the headline says, police, woman accused of killing terminally ill husband at Daytona Beach Hospital planned shooting with spouse. A 76-year-old woman is behind bars in Volusia County after being accused of shooting and killing her terminally ill husband. Ellen Gilland faced a judge for the first time Sunday on several charges, including first-degree murder. She's being held without bond. Based on the nature of the charge, Mrs. Gilland, I am going to hold you on no bond on the murder charge and the remaining charges, and then you'll be set for a future court date, the judge Mary Jolly said. Gilland also faces 3 counts of aggravated assault. Daytona Beach police responded to the shooting at Advent Health Daytona Beach Saturday morning. According to police, responding officers said Gilland shot her husband, 77-year-old Jerry Gilland, and confined herself to his room. He was the only patient in the room, according to police. Upon arrival, our officers were directed to the 11th floor where they encountered an elderly female who had apparently shot her terminally ill husband, the police said at a news conference. The Daytona Beach Police Department said an investigation revealed the couple from New Smyrna Beach planned this weeks ago. They say that the pair made a pact to go through with a murder-suicide 3 weeks ago if the husband, who was terminally ill, continued to take a turn for the worse. Which also makes me sad because I'm like, well, she wasn't. I mean, I understand probably not wanting to live without the love of your life, but also...
She wasn't terminally ill. That's the one thing that keeps popping up for me and where I just am like, well, what if this was her plan? Because she didn't go through with the other part of it.
Who knows? I'm like, if I was the husband, I would be like, don't die because of me. Mm-hmm. Like, keep living. Keep doing your thing.
Why would the husband put her in that position?
I know. We don't know. They said, obviously, we're unsure how she brought the gun into the hospital, but this was planned. Police say the plan had been for the husband to do the shooting, but he was too weak.
Oh.
They got a call about the shooting around 11:30 a.m. on Saturday, and it took hostage negotiators hours before the woman was taken into custody. Meanwhile, the surrounding rooms had to be cleared in what police called a bit of a logistical nightmare. Because the 11th floor is made up of terminally ill patients, so pretty much all the patients on that floor are on ventilators. He says they didn't have room to evacuate the entire floor, but says Gilland never left the room where the shooting happened. An affidavit revealed that Gilland pointed the firearm at multiple witnesses and demanded they get out of the room. She never put the gun down, so she never specifically made a threat that she was going to shoot any of us, but she never put the gun down. So we would have to assume, you know, if we were to rush in there, we didn't effectively communicate that it could have turned into a shootout situation. So they used a device to distract her so that she'd drop the gun. Like, what device?
What device?
Like, hold like a laser pointer. Yeah. Like, hey, like look at my hand. I mean, it's very serious situation and very sad in all in all realms. This is the thing. I don't think she's going around killing people. I don't think she would do that.
No, but she's a danger to society for sure.
You think? Because I'm like, I don't think she's going to harm anyone else.
I don't think her intentions would be to harm anyone else, but you walk into a hospital. Especially that specific unit where they said they can't evacuate. I mean, she's not in her right mind.
No, it's clearly.
And has a, you know, a weapon that's awful. And yeah, she's...
Oh, it says here, when officers finally deployed a flashbang device into the room, she fired a shot into the ceiling.
See?
It scared her.
What if there was a someone giving birth upstairs? True. You don't know.
Around 3 p.m. after negotiation, she was taken into custody. It's a tough situation. Her husband was terminally ill, so she was already in a depressed state just based on her husband being terminally ill and knowing that the end was near. One of the staff came running in, clearly very agitated, saying, "This is not a drill." Dr. Joshua Hornstein, a private practice cardiologist, said he was on the ground floor of the hospital's emergency department. It just kind of goes into more detail. I'll link the full article. But yeah, the biggest thing, people are like, how did this gun make it into the hospital?
Are there like metal detectors? I mean,
I'm sure.
I think she could just slip it in her purse.
I don't know.
I don't know. That is wild. And if her intentions were really just to end his life for him, that's one thing. But she risk everybody else's life when you bring a gun somewhere and fire it off.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, she put everyone else at risk.
Yeah, so she's the asshole. Is that what we're doing?
Oh, no. I don't think she's an asshole. I think she's just was put in a real bad position.
No, I know.
From what it sounds like.
Fucked up. Now her life is over.
I mean, potentially. I feel like they're not going to, like, lock her up for the rest of her life. We'll see.
Yeah.
I guess we'll see. That'll be an interesting trial, actually, to follow.
Yeah. So. This was this year.
Yeah. This happened this month.
Wow.
Like, a couple days ago. So.
Okay.
Interesting. Thanks for sending that story in.
I know. Thank you. Very interesting.
All right. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll hear Madison's first email. We'll be right back.
Cult Leader is sponsored by BetterHelp. Cult babes, how is your social battery right now? Are you drained? Are you bursting with energy? I'm always a little bit of both. The type to host a party, but also go to my room for a few minutes of peace and quiet right in the middle of it. It's easy to ignore our social batteries sometimes and spread ourselves thin. Are you in touch with what the right amount of socializing is for you? Are you a hybrid like me? Are you someone who needs a lot more quiet time? Or are you your best self when you're surrounded by people? Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. If there's one thing therapy's taught me, it's a lot about learning how to recognize when I'm feeling a little overwhelmed by spreading myself thin. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapist at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/cultleader today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/cultleader.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
And we're back. What you got for us?
This is from Josie. Josie says, "Dear Spencer, Madison, and all the fur babes, my name is Josie. I've written in before, but mainly just to fangirl out. If you do choose to read this on air, it's okay to use the names. And if it does air, I'm probably in the middle of doing eyelash extensions because I always play obituary or cult leader for my clients while they get their lashes done."
Okay, love it.
Oh my God, she says, "I've converted about 100 Geoffs and cult babes to date." That's incredible.
Yeah, you deserve an award.
I know.
What can we do for you?
She says, "We all love you guys, like love. Anyway, do I apologize for the long email or no? Because this will be, as there's so much information and twists and turns to this story. It had a major impact on our family and the community as well. I will apologize if I jump around. I'm a hairstylist, not a writer." This happened in a town called Olathe, Kansas. My cousin Jessica had a rough past growing up, in and out of trouble and bad relationships. At a very young age, she had a baby girl, and her daughter's age at the time of this incident was 16. Jessica was 43. Jessica had three children and had recently, within the four prior years leading up to the event, separated herself from all the bad decisions and people in her life. Her ex-boyfriend, Junior, was away in prison, so Jessica saw that as a way out of her troubled relationship and previous lifestyle. She had a nice home, was doing well as a manager and hairstylist at a salon, and out of trouble, although she was on probation from a previous marijuana charge. That is important to note, as it is relevant later. Junior was released from prison, and Jessica was constantly living in fear. He had made prior threats to her, which is why he had a restraining/stalking order and GPS monitoring device on his ankle. Junior, real name is Clyde, Junior is his nickname, called Jessica and threatened her life. Jessica grabbed a knife from her kitchen, ran to her neighbors, and called the police. The police arrived, and because she was on probation and was wielding a knife, they arrested her. Nothing came of Junior's threats. So Jessica decided, in order to keep her and her children safe and avoid going to jail again, that she would get an axe and put it in her garage.
Oh, God. Well, I mean, she did the right thing in the beginning by getting hell out of there.
I know. Oh, that sucks that she was the one that got arrested. Makes sense, as it's a common household tool. Fast forward to the weekend of 4th of July. Jessica had spent the weekend with family and neighbors, enjoying the festivities. Junior's nephew was at her home, as she still maintained a relationship with her children's family, and also plays a key role in this as well. That evening, there are still some unanswered questions, but the police have put together a timeline of events to fill in the blanks. Around 3 a.m., Junior's ankle monitoring device was alerted that it had been tampered with. That's right. The a-hole cut it off and was headed to my cousin's house.
Oh my God.
He was spotted on Ring doorbell cameras entering her neighborhood. At that time, he rushed in her home, shot her, used her axe on her, all while her children were upstairs. Oh my God. I'm sorry.
What the fuck?
His nephew said he didn't recognize who entered, but just ran out the front door and down the street. Mind you, my cousin Jessica was about 5'0" and 100 pounds. Junior is about 6'4", 250 pounds. What a coward of his nephew to run. Jessica's daughter discovered her mother brutally murdered in her living room. My poor aunt had to clean the house her daughter was murdered in and has since adopted Jessica's children. Sadly, Jessica's father, my uncle, just passed away last week, and now my aunt is 74, raising three young kids alone.
Oh my God. Ugh. God bless her.
I have like a frog in my throat reading this. It's choking me up.
Well, because it's horrible.
It's horrible. Junior was caught on Ring doorbells, speeding off down the street, hitting a parked car, which made one of his hubcaps fall off. Also, a cadaver dog led the police to the side of a creek on the side of a road where Junior had taken his clothes off and attempted to conceal them. They found the axe under his house, along with DNA of Jessica's on a black mask and inside his vehicle. Oh. This dumbass criminal tried to plead not guilty. He lost. Sentenced with first-degree murder.
Oh, thank God.
I know.
Thank God they caught him. That's the shit that pisses me off, because you know the cops are always like, well, we can't do anything until they try something.
And then it's too late.
Yeah.
It's awful. My father and my aunt went to the trial. The bailiff would remove my aunt when the gruesome details would be shared. My aunt suffered a small heart attack after the trial and is since doing better. Oh,
God.
This is such a sad story and has impacted our little family beyond measure. I'm happy knowing my uncle is with my cousin again, but worry about my aunt that endured so much loss in such a short time. Jessica has now been gone for over 2 years, but her memory lives on. I've attached a few articles regarding this case. Much love from the Gypsy Parlor in Olathe.
Josie. First of all, you did a really, really good job telling this story.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, I mean, thank you for sharing such a personal story with us. I'm so sorry for your loss. We're so sorry for your loss. That is heartbreaking, and your aunt sounds like just an angel.
I know. Going through all that, losing your daughter, your husband,
taking in the children,
and then having to sit through a trial.
God. It made me emotional when you said, like, the bailiff or whatever took her out during the gory details. Yeah. I'm like, God. It's just, I mean, it's so heartbreaking. And unfortunately, we know it's just the reality for many families.
Well, okay, wait. I pulled up this article, one of the articles she attached. And at the bottom, I'm reading, and it says, when Olathe police questioned Barnes, officer said he showed no emotion when they told him Jessica was dead. He said, I guess he told officers, I'm sorry for her loss, but I really don't give a fuck at this point.
Fuck him. Give him the electric chair.
Mm-hmm.
Or no, let him get eaten by snakes or something.
Oh.
Bitch.
Wow.
What a dumb bitch.
Just.
What a coward, too.
Sick. Sick. Sick, sick, sick.
And how embarrassing for you. That you are so incapable of living your life that you have to take the life of somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
That's how much you don't value yourself,
mm-hmm.
which you shouldn't have any self-value because you suck.
Mm-hmm.
Pissed me off.
I know. I'm like,
God.
Oh,
dick.
So sorry, guys, to bring it down, but it's real life.
Now I want to take another break.
I know.
I need a break after that. My God.
I know. I need a drink. You don't drink. I need a drink.
We'll be right back.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than just a house. It's your home, the place that's filled with memories. The early days of figuring it out, to the later years of still figuring it out. For the place you've put down roots, trust Amica Home Insurance. Amica, empathy is our best policy.
All right, the subject line on this next one says, Little Leader, the big, bad, scary drug dealer.
Mmm. Okay.
Dear Spencer and Hot Dog, I am a cult babe and geoth by way of Morbid. I sent a story from my hospice nurse experience to Obit because it belongs there, if anywhere. The following story belongs here, if you run out of better things and want to read it. Well, here we are. This story happened in the 80s and when I was in college and when pot was still very illegal. I've been sober for over 20 years, but I am not a prude, so I believe you do you. Unfortunately, I was never able to do anything in moderation. Same. My name is Karen, and you can use my name. My poor misunderstood and misused name.
Oh, no, I know.
Sorry, Karen. I always think of Karen's. I'm always sorry. The other names have been changed. Here's the mushy part. We'll read it. Thank you, Spencer.
Ooh, love it.
For your advocacy for those of us with mental health and substance abuse issues. Yeah, because I got them, babe. I love and respect your true crime research and presentation style, both in Cult Leader and Obituary.
Oh,
thank you so much. My rescue, Shamrock, says hi to Hot Dog.
Okay, what about me?
And Madison, it says. It was my first year at college, and I was shy and insecure. My first day in the dorm, I was the only student on my hall, and I was bored and lonely. So I said to myself, what would Sandy do? My popular best friend in high school, who always seemed comfortable in social situations. I took a huge breath and walked down the adjacent hall, and I said hi to the first person I saw, who happened to be a young man who was a few years older than most of us students. He offered me a beer, and I was good to go. It wasn't the first time I drank, but it was the first time I realized that alcohol was my answer to social anxiety.
Mm.
It wasn't a great answer, but it took me a long time to figure that out. Been there. A few weeks later, the same friend, whose voice had a vacation cabin in my head, was coming up for a weekend. We had planned a purple party. All I can say is that liking purple wasn't common in the 80s, but I both loved and hated feeling different. There was a purple punch with grape juice and Everclear.
Oh my God.
Burn a hole through your stomach. purple napkins and decorations, and everyone was instructed to wear purple. I picked out my outfit days in advance. The evening of the party, I was looking for the first friend I made at school to see if he was coming to the party. His roommate, Ken, was alone in the room, and I told him about the party. He was also a little older and had a decidedly creepy vibe, but you know, the more the merrier. I didn't spend a lot of time honoring my gut feelings then. Ken invited me in his room. Cue spooky music. He offered me a seat on a brown velour couch, the 80s, and offered me a hit of what he called pot. I had a little experience in the 80s with marijuana, which was very weak, so I was surprised with what happened next. Let me try to paint a picture. From report, from what I can remember, I was sitting normally on the couch, feet on the floor, and what I can still see clearly is me sitting cross-legged in a sort of lotus position in complete and total darkness. I was surrounded by nothing. I could not feel anything beneath me. Do you remember the first time you ever felt like high?
Yeah, I don't like it.
I can't handle it. Absolutely nothing but total and expansive darkness. 360 degrees of nothingness. Apparently in real life, I had started screaming.
Oh, no.
I've probably done that too.
Me too.
I know you have.
Seen it. You've witnessed it.
I remember that Van Halen's Running with the Devil started playing, and I was yelling, "You are the devil," at Ken.
No.
Oh, no. Eventually, my friend from San Diego found me and took me back to my room. I have vague, intermittent flashes of memory. A couple friends rotated sitting with me all night. I was paranoid and terrified. Of course, no one thought of taking me for medical help, just the nature of 1980 college kids and partying.
Mm-hmm.
I hope people are smarter now.
They're not.
The following day, I woke up feeling funny, but basically okay. And over the next few days, I shared my story with whomever asked where I had been or had heard the rumor. About 2 weeks later, I was coming back into my dorm room from lunch, and Ken smoothly slipped in the room after me. He shut and locked the door and slammed me up against the back of the door.
Oh, no.
God. He was tall and double my weight. He had one hand at my throat. "Listen here," he said, and proceeded to tell me I better stop spreading rumors about being drugged. He said the pot I had was not laced with anything, which is what the others had suggested to me. He snarled at me that very soon there would be a drug bust on campus, and if anything happened to him, I was going down with him. The shy, insecure me mentally went out for a Slurpee. I pulled from memories of fighting with my brother, and I told him to get the fuck out of my face and out of my room. I yelled with all I had, not for help, but directly at him. I don't remember the words, just the release of anger being bullied by the man who had given me God only knows what drug.
Oh, God.
To my complete surprise and ultimate safety, he pulled his hands away and stepped back from me. He muttered one more threat and left my room. We never spoke again. I did stop talking about the incident, not because he threatened me, but because I was just done with the whole ordeal. There was a drug bust, but I don't know if Ken was involved. I continued to see him around, and I admit to the occasional shudder, but we avoided eye contact. There are so many possible outcomes to this story. I was lucky. I would like to say I did no other drugs after this, but I was 18 then, I'm 60 now, and I have 20 years of sobriety. You do the math. Or have hot dog do the math. Thanks for reading again. You're the best. P.S. I now live in the Bay Area, and I love when you reference local places and events. Oh.
Ooh, oh my gosh. What a story.
Karen, what a story. My God.
Listen.
We've all got stories like this.
We do. And that's scary that we do.
That is scary. But we also, I'll speak for us. We are the type that definitely put ourselves in some sketchy situations when we were younger.
I don't know how I'm alive. Truly.
Uh-huh.
But there's one thing having a bad weed high, right? Like, we've all been there. I've been there multiple times. It's not pretty. But then if he did
lace it with something. Yeah.
It's just so scary. I am the old person who tells my nieces and nephews, like, it's not worth it.
Oh, I tell my siblings now, I say, drugs aren't pure. It's not coming from someone's cousin, doesn't get it from Cuba. It's not like, don't believe them.
Right.
Because it's scary. Drugs are also very different now than they were then.
Mm-hmm. And that's what they said back then, too.
Uh-huh. And I know. The truth.
It is scary, scary. We're happy that you're okay and that you're 60 and thriving.
And you got 20 years of sobriety.
Congratulations.
Love that.
You're not missing out on anything.
No. And I hope we cross paths in the Bay Area one day.
Yes, come to our show.
We are doing one. Karen, come to our San Francisco show.
Yes.
It's on a date that is on the website, obituarypodcast.com. All right. You want to lead us out one more email?
Yes. And this is a very interesting email. It says, "Dear Spencer, Madison, Hot Dog, Doris, and Desi, I thought it would be only fair to share this story with my favorite people, and if you're so inclined, share it with the rest of the Cult Babes and Geoffs in a Little Leader or on Obituary."
Hey, well, we went with
Little Leader.
Yes.
It fits. It fits in a Little Leader for sure. This story is a bit long. I timed myself, and it's 4 minutes. But it is definitely interesting. I grew up in a small rural town of Michigan where everyone knows everything about each other. I was 13 years old when this event took place, so you can imagine the uproar that spread through the middle school hallways this day. I had heard that one of my friend's moms was getting her mail when she saw an unfamiliar woman dropping large black garbage bags on the side of the road and speeding off.
That's never a good sign.
Never. This was not normal in a town where everything is normal, so she called the police. When the police arrived, they opened multiple bags to find a burned and dismembered body along with an electric circular saw.
Oh, they put the murder weapon in there too? Mm-hmm. My God.
As it turns out, the mom had told the police the car's license plate, and they were able to trace it back to a Mother Waddles car donation center, therefore connecting it to a woman named Donna Scrivo, 60 years old. Police got to work and through prints identified the dismembered body as Ramsey Scrivo, Donna's 32-year-old son. Ramsey was reported missing by Donna on January 27th, but 3 days later on the 30th was seen dropping the trash bags. By autopsy, the cause of death was determined to be asphyxiation, meaning that Donna had sawed and burned her son's body parts after she had already killed him.
Okay, Madison, I just looked up the name really quick while you were telling me this story because I knew it. There is an episode of Snapped on her.
On her? Are you serious?
Yes.
Have you covered it?
No, I've never covered the story before, but I think I've seen the Snapped episode because I knew the name sounded familiar.
Oh my God. We have a firsthand account here.
Oh,
well,
maybe.
Not really.
Well,
kind of. Yeah. The case was cut and dry. There was a car registration, video surveillance of Donna buying the saw, blood and bleach stains in her house, and localized fire burns in the bathroom. It seemed so obvious that Donna had done it. However, a motive was never shared by investigators. Fast forward to her court date, the prosecutors brought up previous charges held by Donna, and you'll never believe what they were. While working as a registered nurse, she was charged with dismemberment and mutilation of a dead body.
Oh my God.
As well as removing a dead body without a medical examiner's permission. After all of this information was brought to light, the detectives still weren't wholly convinced. This is because just 8 months prior, Donna had sought hospitalization and guardianship of Ramsey, who was diagnosed with psychosis after threatening to hang himself after his father died a year earlier due to terminal illness. Donna pleaded not guilty, but was convicted of premeditated first-degree murder and sentenced to life in prison without parole. So what do you think? Is there more to the story? She testified that a man was holding her hostage in her own home, and that is who killed her son, but jurors did not believe it. I am not sure what to think. I am now 20 years old and still think of this case often. I am grateful I had no personal ties, but it's a crazy thing to happen in my town of 5,000 people.
Wow.
It is true that there is a bias when it comes to older criminals.
Oh, always, but no. I think
a little old lady. Well, 60's not old.
We're going to have to... I want to go... We should watch that episode
of
Snapped.
We should.
It's a crazy story. I completely forgot about it.
Well, she seems like she's into the mutilation and the dismemberment.
Yeah, there's a pattern there, okay?
But to do it to your own. Jesus.
Trouble.
Oh, God. Thank you so much for reading this story. I hope you enjoyed it. I linked Ramsey's obituary below because it's very odd. For someone to be brutally murdered and survive by family, it's very bleak and shares nothing of his personality. I also linked some other articles if you want some of the details I didn't mention. I love you both so much, and I hope one day I will get to meet you face to face. Well, hey, we're coming to Michigan, so.
We are. Come find us. Pontiac, yes. Michigan, I believe.
And we're going to save his obituary for obituary.
Yes, that feels like it belongs on obituary, mm-hmm. but the story is definitely a cult leader story.
Wow. Thank you.
God, wild. Well, as always, thank you all for sharing your stories. Thanks, Madison, for joining us today. And catch us on the road starting March 1st in Boston. And all of the cities, dates, all of that are available on our website, obituarypodcast.com. And I'll see you, cult babes, on Tuesday with a brand new episode of Cult Leader. Goodbye.
If you like Cult Leader, you can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Whether you're working out, walking, or running errands, Audible can help you keep your heart rate up month after month with their pulse-pounding collection of thrilling audiobooks that you can't hear anywhere else. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, which includes thousands of titles. This month, check out the Audible original, The Space Within. It's a chilling 8-part story about a psychiatrist, Dr. Maddie Weil, voiced by Academy Award winner Jessica Chastain, who is tasked with unlocking the memories of a child who went missing for 7 hours. Maddie soon discovers that there are more who have faced similar experiences, and the truth of what is happening to them may impact the fate of humankind. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500. That's audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500.